Welcome to the Junior Golf Blueprint, episode 60, presented by Matt Walter, PGA Teacher Professional. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. As we approach the holiday season, I hope you guys are getting all your holiday shopping taken care of and spending time with your families. And while we're on that subject, let me remind you that Rob Bell and I are doing our workshop January 26th. It's through alwaysplayon.com. It's our mental toughness workshop. January 26th from 3:30 to 5:30. There's also a VIP experience in the back end of that. We're going to take a handful of parents and kids and really dive in even a little bit deeper. So again, this workshop is not just for the athlete, but also for the parent. So I strongly recommend you guys checking this out. If you can't make it, use my link. Go to alwaysplayon.com/Matt-Walter. And you can take a look at some of that course material for a discount. So, let's dive into today's podcast. Today I had on Jason Nall. He's the Southern States Junior Classics Tour Director. He is a phenomenal individual who's apparently decided to take it upon himself to put on a junior golf tour. And running one myself, I know what task that is like. And so, I am more than thrilled to have him on this podcast. We talk about a whole bunch of stuff, and I think you'll really enjoy Jason, and he's a really good dude. So, real quick, word from our sponsors, and we'll jump into this podcast. All right, ladies and gentlemen, today on the podcast, we have the wonderful opportunity to bring on the director of the Southern States Junior Classics Tour. His name is Jason Nall. He is a very ambitious individual starting up a junior golf tour. I know the struggle that he goes through week in and week out to put these events on for our kids, and he does a fantastic job. I have a dozen players that go out there and play on his circuit, and everybody comes back and speak his praises. So I'm really excited about having this gentleman on for the show for us today. So without further ado, I'll let Jason introduce himself and give him a little background about his career. So Jason, say hello, my friend.
All right. Hey, Matt. Thanks for having me on. This is a great opportunity for us to talk about junior golf. So I'm excited. That's great.
Yeah, brother. So start us out. So give us a little bit of history about yourself, you know, your golf career as a kid and how you got into the game and all that fun stuff.
Okay. Yeah, so I grew up over in the western side of Tennessee, actually in Arkansas, just across the bridge from Memphis, over in West Memphis, Arkansas. And I played at a little course called Meadowbrook Country Club, which sadly enough is closing down on December 31st. It went into bankruptcy. Like a lot of these smaller, you know, small town courses have just really struggled of late, and it's one of them.
Yeah, it's
rough. I'm going to go over there and play on December 29th. I haven't played in 12 years, but I want to play it one last time. And it's probably going to be terrible weather, but I'm going to enjoy it just to get back out there.
That'll be nostalgic for sure.
For sure. So I grew up, you know, I started playing golf around 12 years old and played stuff around Memphis. I played in the Bubba Conley as a junior golfer, which is still a big tournament in Tennessee every year. And so I grew up playing competitive junior golf and did not play in college, had some opportunities at smaller colleges and had my mindset that I wanted to be a Razorback and go to the University of Arkansas. And so I went up there for college and had a great college experience, but just played golf for fun in college. And we did play a little bit of golf, you know, here and there with my friends in college. And really got away from the game other than, well, I say I got away from the game, like every job I've ever had throughout my career had some sort of tie in to golf, either somebody I met on a golf course or playing in a charity, you know, scramble or something and things like that. There's been so many doors open for me through golf. So I've stayed with the game, but just not competitively, so to speak. And then my kids were, you know, my kids came along and of course I introduced the game to them as soon as I could. And U.S. Kids Golf was coming out about the same time as my oldest son, who's now in college, was growing up. And he was about 5 years old. You know, nobody ever thought about playing golf at 5 years old when I was a kid, but, I decided, hey, I'll get him some U.S. Kids Junior clubs, and we'll go out and hit balls and stuff. And the next thing I knew, we were playing U.S. Kids golf tournaments at 6 or 7 years old. And he took to it and played his whole grade school, junior high school, and didn't play golf in college, but golf's a great game. You know, he's changed colleges at Mississippi State University.
It's a good school.
And now he's great school. I worked there for 8 years. I love it.
I'm a graduate. So I love it.
Are you really? I didn't realize that. Yep. Okay. All right. That's great. We've got a tournament there. So our summer open is at the Mississippi State University course, and it's a partnership with the Mississippi State Pro Golf Management Program. So
that's what I did when I was down there. I'll tell you
a little bit about that in a minute. Yeah. So I worked there for 8 years, and that's when my oldest son was growing up, and he played a lot in Mississippi, in those Mississippi State Golf Association tournaments and stuff. We moved to Tennessee about 4 years ago. My daughter had begun playing the game then, and she again took to it, loved the game, and has been really successful as a girls golfer, junior golfer, from the U.S. kids level now to AJGA and things of that nature. We moved to Tennessee, and it's opened up some doors for her to be able to play a more, I would say, regional schedules, you know, Atlanta, North Carolina. It's not too far to get to Florida. We, you know, get all the great events in Tennessee. Tennessee's a great junior golf state. And then my youngest son now, he'll play in his third U.S. Kids World Championship as an 8-year-old this summer. And he's finished in the top 40 both years over there. And that doesn't sound so great, but there's 100 kids, you know, and they're all really good. So,
definitely impressive for sure.
You know, so we've had a couple of top 40 finishes, and he's a good golfer. He also plays basketball, and my daughter did dance up until 2 years ago, because dance was going to become much more of a time commitment to do it through high school. And I had a couple of long nights while she decided whether she wanted to do dance or golf, but she ended up going with golf.
Oh, man, so, sure.
So, you know, it's a family thing, and we had gone down with my older son and with my daughter and played in this tournament called Starburst down in Waco, Texas. It was a 3-day deal. And I was down there with some friends and junior golf parents, and we talked about, you know, we ought to do something with all the cool stuff of all these cool tournaments we go to, and just throw out all the bad stuff, because we've been to some tournaments that we didn't enjoy as much, and have this super tour. Well, it was a good conversation, but the only one that stayed with it after we got back was me. And so I started to put together the Southern States Junior Classics. And, you know, our mission, it's right there on our website, which is SSJRClassic.com, SSJRClassic.com. Deliver best-in-class regional championship events that build confidence and develop character within the participants. So, you know, we wanted to do 2-day events so they could be junior golf school board ranked, and they could help our players qualify for national events. And that's what we started out with. And our first 2 years, we did one tournament, and it was in Cleveland, Tennessee, and we did a 3-day event. It was good, and people really enjoyed it. And the third year, we began to build off of that and do a regional schedule. And this year being our fourth now, will be our fourth full season, but our second full season with multiple events. And so we will be hosting 7 events, which is one team event, which is in Alabama in February. It's 12 boys and 12 girls in a Ryder's Cup style event. We've already had the registration for that. It is sold out, I'm happy to say. We're looking forward to that event. I'll tell you a little bit about that event if I got time.
We got plenty of time, baby. You talk.
Okay. It's called the Joshua Cup, all right? And you know, this being a tour that I operate and that I don't have to really answer to anyone, we felt like bringing the message of Christ into our golf tour was important. And so this event, the players and the caddies, we do have a message about the courage of Joshua to make tough choices in tough situations, and we bring that message to the players on a prayer breakfast the morning before the second round. This will be our actual fourth year to do this event. And you know, we were very open that there is a Christian message with this event. People know that, and they decide whether they want to sign up or not. But we found that a lot of our families, a lot of our golf families, are very involved with their communities and involved with their churches, and this has been something that's really been good for us. And so we have that message as a prayer breakfast before the second round of this team event. And that event will be held down at Robert Trent Jones, the Senator course at Capitol Hill this year. So we're kind of going a little bit south in February, hoping we can get some 50-degree weather. We'll see.
Hey, man. Good on you. That's awesome.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. You know, it's just when you're not a big corporation, and you can do some things like that and not – worry too much about having offended anybody, but I'm like I said, we're very open, and if it's not someone's cup of tea, then they know that, and they can play and not participate, or they could choose not to play at all.
Well, I think that's you know, I think that's you know, if, you know, without getting political or nothing, I think you know, yeah. For us, you know, I think to be able to have that opportunity to, you know, stay true to who you are with your values. And like you were saying, like you can support it or not, it's indifferent. And like you found out, I mean, you sold the event out. So clearly, there's people that support it with you. You know what I mean? And I think you just can't be afraid to do that kind of stuff. And I think that just brings a better sense of the culture that you're applying to your tour, you know? And I think I truly think that's part of the reason why everybody I talk to that go play your events comes back with a great word about it.
Well, I couldn't, you know, that surprised me to hear you say that. Not that I didn't think people had a good time in our events, but I didn't know that you were maybe that familiar. I didn't think about the fact that your players would come back and have talked to you about it. And so, I mean, that made me feel so good. I wish I could start every day out with stuff like that. That's great.
Well, all I got to say is if you keep setting the bar so high, my U.S. kids tour is going to struggle here in a bit, right?
Yeah, no, I don't. I believe it or not, I try to throw my dates out early and hope that because a lot of my players are U.S. kids players, and my kids play U.S. kids, and so yeah. And I love U.S. kids. Don't get me wrong. This is kind of my vision was this tour would be kind of the next step from U.S. kids, if you and along the lines of some of their regional championships, which they have. But a less expensive version for players and families around this area, where you can still go begin to develop two-day tournament play and establish your junior golf ranking. And, you know, that's one of the things we set out, one of our goals was to make our tour less expensive. And I'm not talking about U.S. kids on this thing. I'm talking about some of the other regional tours. And you're looking at, I'm not going to say the name, but I signed my daughter up for a tournament in Nashville in February, and the registration was right here before Christmas, and it was $369 for a two-day tournament. That's tough on a family.
That hurts the Christmas budget.
It hurts the Christmas budget. but it was a great course that we needed to play. And she needed to play that course. We'd never played it, and so you know we went ahead and did it. But our tournaments are $149 if you sign up during the first week for a two-day tournament. And then that's our early bird sign-in period, and that helps us build those fields early, which always encourages more people to sign up. And then from the next 3 weeks of our registration period, they're $179. And that's for the 18-hole players. It's $99 and $109 for the 9-hole players. So you get a two-day tournament. You know, I don't have I have another job that supports my family, and this is just a passion, and I want it to grow, and I hope someday that when my daughter's playing college golf that this could be my job, but full-time job. But at this point, I'm really just wanting to introduce this the competitive golf with the junior golf ranking and the national opportunities, and that, which I'll talk about in a little bit, to national qualifier opportunities, you know, to our region, you know. So this year we've got 6 medal play events after that team event, and they're in Tennessee, Mississippi, Alabama, and Georgia. So we kind of hit the northern part of Mississippi, Georgia, and Alabama, and then we've got one in Memphis, one in Nashville, one in Chattanooga in Tennessee. So yeah, we're hoping to build off our momentum from last year and have fuller fields and keep this thing rolling.
Man, that's awesome. Yeah, it's definitely, it's one of those things that running these tours at the level that we're at right now, even with me with the US kids, is, it doesn't support us, and it's not necessarily something that you're going to get rich doing, but it's more of,
right.
The enjoyment of seeing the kids getting out there and competing and having the opportunity, like, with the US kids, for me, I've set it up so that it's in the spring outside of the Ned's tour. And then it's in the fall after the SNEDS tour. And it gives the kids that can't play middle school golf or, there's no such thing as really elementary golf. It gives the kids a chance to keep playing in the months that, the weather's not completely horrible, but some days it can be.
I agree.
So tell us more about the later stages of the championship golf that you offer and the postseason playoff kind of scenarios and all that fun stuff that you have available to your kids as they play on your
team. Well, we've our season starts for medal play March 16th and 17th. Our tournament's called the Southern States Junior Classic Spring Fever, and that's our first tournament of the season. It's at Bear Trace at Thames Ford State Park. Then we just run a schedule with about one event every 6 weeks through the end of October. And we do get a lot of kids that play in three or four events. We have some that just play in one, and that's another thing. We don't charge a tour membership fee at all. And so if you did want to just try out one event, or if you needed a two-day event to get ready for another tournament, or you just needed to keep playing, it's not going to break the bank. You don't have to make a full season commitment to us. You can just play one event, and that's perfect. But we worked this year to get some qualifier events, and so beginning with our Players Championship, which is at the other Bear Trace at Harrison Bay State Park, we have a qualifier opportunity. And then we also have some at the one at the Summer Open and one at our season-ending Fall Shootout. So, and at the Mid-South at the Nashville Tournament. So I'll just kind of tell you what those are.
Sure.
At the Players Championship, that is going to be an Optimist Club qualifier for the Optimist Championship down in Florida. It's a 3-day event toward the end of the summer. A long-standing tournament that's been a big tournament for years and years and years down there. So each age division will have some Tennessee qualifiers that go there. Our Summer Open, which is in Mississippi State University Golf Course, which we talked briefly about, you being a Bulldog, that's awesome. I didn't even realize that. So that's going to be a qualifier for the Hurricane Junior Golf Tour, their national championship in December in Orlando. So the top three in each age division will have the opportunity to qualify into that field down there. And then the Music City Challenge, which is in September, that's going to be a qualifier for the North American Junior Am, which is in Arizona between Christmas and New Year's. Top two in each age division, 12 and above, will be qualified into that tournament should they choose to play. And then our final tournament of the year, which is our tour championship, which is called the Fall Shootout. That's where we give out our Player of the Year awards, which, by the way, are orange Letterman's jackets. They're kind of cool. And that is a FCG Callaway World Championship qualifier. So the top two in each age division will qualify for the Callaway Junior Golf World Championship in California the following year. We're trying to work with some other groups to offer some qualifying opportunities for our players around this region. If they're interested in trying to get to some of these national events, we've got an avenue. So we're excited about that. All of that's new this year.
Dude, that's awesome. I mean, here's something that I've always just kind of enjoyed here as of late, hearing about, and I never realized this until I started interviewing you and the various different tours. There is this great camaraderie of how every tour kind of integrates with each other, right? So I mean, you're providing a qualifier to other regional events, and I don't think it was really that way when I was younger playing on this kind of stuff. It was like you had to go play this tour to earn status and earn points for that tour, and it wasn't really this interlacing system that allowed you to kind of participate more within your region and then still learn the status at some of these bigger regional things. And, you know, so that the fact that you're able to do that and offer an opportunity for kids in the Southeast that, you know, like you were saying, that North American Open down there in Arizona, like back in the day, you'd have to go to Arizona to qualify for an event in Arizona.
That's right. You know, I found out that once we got established and I had some results and I could call and say, look, here's what we're doing in Tennessee and Alabama, Mississippi, and Georgia. They were really excited at the opportunity to partner because they know we have great golfers here and they want more opportunity for our great golfers to be able to play in their event. So it's been a pretty natural mesh there. Really open to working together. And you're right, it's for the most part a pretty close community of us guys operating out here, and we kind of try to avoid each other's schedules and all kinds of stuff like you were talking about with the Sneds tour. I do the same thing.
It's really just kind of neat. And I think that, and I've said this before on the podcast, it's like we're not in a zero-sum game. Just because you draw a big field doesn't mean I can't draw a field as well.
Oh, no.
You know, and we're all kind of in there to help each other. And I think, it's kind of fun because, I'll talk about your events and then you'll talk about our events and we'll talk about team events and AJJ events. And, there's just multiple ways for kids to get out there and play golf. And there's so many kids playing now. And that are wanting to play tournament golf, and they're starting, like you were saying, with your kid, you didn't even know you could play golf at a competitive level when you're 6 years old.
Right. I mean, US Kids has been great. I can't say enough great things about US Kids. I think it's really, I think years from now, after I'm gone, you'll still be around. You're a little younger than me. the game's going to be healthier because of, the way we've introduced it. Like, I look at US Kids as like the Little League, the T-ball version of baseball when I was a kid. Exactly. You know, there wasn't that for golf. You went out there and played from the red tees, and you hit it 15 times, and maybe you got it in the hole. Well, US Kids teaches you how to play from the right distance and learn how to score. You know, it makes the game so much more fun for everybody.
Exactly.
So I'm a continuation. I feel like a continuation of US Kids with very much similar to their regional championships. And that's what we do. And I do believe that you'll see the impact. We're already seeing the impact of US Kids on the pro tours, but we'll see it, I think, in the game. It's just going to keep the game healthy and people doing like what I was talking about earlier, making their business relationships and playing golf with their family until they're 80. Those things that make golf the best sport on earth, that's gonna, I think US Kids, I think they got it right. I really do.
Well, I think, your tour is doing the same thing too, where you set the golf course up appropriately for
that's
the
right.
And that's a huge thing, like you were saying, where we're now starting to see it at the professional level, because now the kids, well, I say kids, they're not much younger than me, but the guys that are showing up on the tour, we're playing these events with the appropriate yardages. Like, I'm probably one of the last of the generations that grew up like you were talking about, where you played the forward tees, it was 100 yards, and you only hit it like 100 yards, best case scenario. And you just whack a mold until you got it there.
That's what I did too.
And it develops a mindset of, like, I remember it was just such a huge milestone when I made my first birdie. I can't remember how old I was when I did it, but I know I was at least 10. And it was, and there's kids out there now who are 6 that shoot like 30 on 9 holes.
I know it.
Oh, my
God. That's right. Like, they do.
I haven't shot 30 as a professional, like, let alone doing that when I was 7. So it's just really cool, I think, like you were saying, it's really healthy for the betterment of our game, because one of the bigger issues as a, I'm going to get my teacher's soapbox here. One of the bigger issues as we have as coaches and in the game is that, despite all the effort we're making as coaches to make people better at the game, the handicap of the average golfer hasn't gone down in decades. So you're not getting the general masses better, but if we keep making the junior golfers better and they stay in the game, then I would hope to see that handicap number goes down. I think the other thing, I think this could be something interesting for you is as your tour grows, is I was talking to a gentleman named Chris Hart who runs the Next Gen Golf Association, and he does club golf. Okay. And he really wrangles in the players after high school that don't play college golf. They might play club golf. They can still play amateur golf. Because if you think about it, the after 18 bracket, there's not much for you to go play in anymore except for your local amateur stuff, you know, or your club championship or, you know, XYZ Scramble. So he's really kind of pushed on to hosting events for, you know, that bracket of 18 to 35 so that they have something to play in too and can stay in competitive, stay in that competitive mindset. So I would keep your ears to the ground on that kind of stuff, knowing that you have a kid that's in college now that could participate in that.
So definitely. I've heard of Next Gen Golf. I haven't met him. I'll check that out. Thanks for pointing that out to me.
Oh, yeah, for sure. So talk to me more about, we kind of glassed over it a little bit, but I want to know what was the main reason that you put the weight on your shoulders to take this tour on and get this thing running? And you know, you say you talked to the group of people, but you know, you ended up being the only one running with it. What really kind of drove you to take this by the reins and run with it?
Well, okay, I can tell you this. So before I moved the family to Tennessee, and we were in Starkville, Mississippi at Mississippi State. I was driving Hannah, my daughter, over to play she was in the second to fifth grade division of the AAJGT, All-American Junior Golf Tour. It was run by a guy named Danny Rue, and it was over here in eastern Tennessee. And he had a division where second to fifth grade could play two-day 18-hole tournaments. They allowed caddies, and then he set up an age-appropriate distance course. And myself, Adrian Adams, Kennedy Adams' dad over in Nashville, Shamlin Girl Hoops, who's still a good golfer, plays over here on our side of Tennessee, and then several others from the surrounding states in Tennessee, Lynn Lim, Shelly Jang, a lot of girls from Nashville, would play these events. Well, he ended up closing his tour down to merging with Hurricane, but basically giving all his events to Hurricane. And we lost that. And I thought, man, that was so good for our girls, who are all very competitive in the state of Tennessee and some of them nationally, to be able to play 18 holes a day at that young of an age and 2A tournaments and prepare themselves for, you know, the big events when they get older. And plus, as a family, we just love those trips. I fell in love with this part of Tennessee and started looking for a job. We just love coming up, you know, playing Bear Trace at Harrison Bay and playing some of the courses up around Tennessee National on the way to Knoxville up there. And so when that tour closed down, I talked to Danny about, you know what if he could do it again, what would he do differently and these things. And he said he just didn't have the social media piece and didn't have a desire to learn that. And he could see that he wasn't going to be able to grow it without – you know, using all the marketing opportunities over there today, so it was the right time for him to get out. But it left a void over here. And so that was my passion, was to offer that opportunity for the younger kids, not just girls, but boys and girls, to be able to play two-day events, 18 holes, at a younger age, and if that's what they wanted to do. I mean, some people, you know, say, oh, my gosh, you know, we can play 18 holes till you're 11 years old. Well, it's not true. Hannah was playing it when she was seven, and we had a great time. As long as you're playing the right distance, you know.
That's right.
So that was kind of where it originated. I wanted to continue with what Danny Rue had done with the All-American Junior Golf Tour over here in Tennessee for many years. There's a girl that played golf for Mississippi State. It's Erica Adams now. I can't remember her maiden name.
Erica Scott.
But Erica Scott. She played on that tour.
Is Erica Scott now? Erica Thornton.
Before. Yeah, Adam Scott's wife. That's right. Erica Scott. I can't remember her maiden name, what she was named when she played Thornton. For Mississippi State. But Thornton, there you go. You got it, buddy.
Yeah,
Erica Thornton.
Played on the team when I was in school.
Perfect. Well, she coached my daughter on short game for 2 years when she got off the team and was working at the Mississippi State golf course. And she talked about that tour and how she had played it when she was younger and how it was a big part, you know, of her development as a junior golfer. So, I mean, I just felt like there was a void and that kind of thing. And so then I thought of, you know, what are the things that I really felt, you know, we played all with three kids through the junior golf circuit. I've been to a lot of events. You know, what was really neat, what was not so great, and tried to put together the best I could on the best budget to keep the cost low for families. First class regional events, and they're just 2-day events, you know, Saturdays and weekends too, but you do yours on weekends, and, you know, that's so important for the people who've got to pay the entry fees and travel costs to be able to do it when they can travel.
Absolutely.
And so that's what we did. And then, like I say, we started it off small. The first 2 years was a once a year event, and through talking to the players who played in that and the parents, I said, man, can we do maybe 3 events a year? And so just kind of added to it and then, you know, built up a reputation of being, you know, a fun tour, and people have responded and played. And so I, you know, we're nothing without our players. I say at every award ceremony to the parents and to the players, I said, you know, we got nothing. We need you guys. So I appreciate you supporting us and taking your time and your resources to play in our tournaments. So
yeah, absolutely.
That's what we're doing. As long as the players and parents are having a good time and people are gaining confidence and getting better at the game and having, you know, great development opportunities, we'll keep doing it.
Yeah, I mean, well, you know, it's funny, man. I remember the first time, like when we crossed 2,000 total rounds, as a tour. I mean, that was just such a huge milestone for me to go back and think, like, that many kids have played on our circuit since inception, and it's just like, it just kind of blows your mind a little bit, you know. And it's just like,
it does.
I can't believe you've touched that many kids with getting them to play competitive golf, and you know, it's just awesome. But tell me more about you got your tour up and running, and you got all this awesome things cooking for the kiddos. How did you go about developing a system for, you know, or how did you model your system for, like, results and creating that kind of, like, championship-level points like they do in the FedEx Cup? You know, what was your thought there?
Oh.
And how did you come around doing that?
Okay. Yeah, so we when we started our multiple events, we started a point system for players of the year. And in each event, you earn points by your finish in your division. The top 5 finishers in each division at each event will earn points, more to the first and less to the fifth. And some events are weighted heavier, like our, what I would call our 3 majors, or our Spring Fever tournament, our Summer Open, and our Fall Shootout. And so the Spring Fever and Summer Open have 1.5 times points multipliers, and then the Fall Shootout, the last minute of the year, has a 2-time point multiplier. And so it's just, you earn those points throughout the year, and then those lead toward our Player of the Year. So you could win Player of the Year and not necessarily win the last tournament of the year. So it's not I guess you could do that too on the PGA Tour and the FedEx Cup, but which happened, I guess.
That's just a rose.
Yeah. So it, you know, in that regard, it's not a perfect playoff system, but it does maybe recognize the over from March to October, the strongest player in each division in our tournament, you know, it's most consistent player. So you're right, that's Justin Rose. But and then the jacket deal, that all started, I was trying to come up with something a little bit unique to give out as our awards, and it doesn't stop with the jacket, but our jacket is goes to the Player of the Year, and it's an old style Letterman's jacket with the leather sleeves. We chose orange, not necessarily because of Tennessee Volunteers, although I live here close by and we do have some volunteer fans, but, you know, it's kind of a more or less a Ricky Fowler thing, you know, to give us something a little flashy, something that kind of stands out a little bit, you know. So we did the orange jacket, and we do the Chanel patches on the side that say Player of the Year, those guys, the parents really like them, I'll tell you that much. Players like them too.
Sure.
I've seen, you know, I tell them to send me pictures and of them wearing them to school, and so, you know, our parents are great. They're just great in support of our tour. They'll send me pictures of their kids, and we'll post them on social media. So we've had a lot of fun with those orange jackets, and they go to our Players of the Year. But a couple other awards we do that are different is our Summer Open wins a championship belt, like a wrestling championship belt. So East Division winners get a big championship belt, and they're nice belts too. They look like those long drive champion belts if you've ever seen those.
Oh yeah, well, see, see, now you're running with where I was going with this because I saw those championship belts and the rings, and the jackets.
Yeah, the rings. There you go, the rings, the jackets. So you know, anything to do something a little bit different to create some excitement in this game. You know, just to keep everything interesting, keep golf interesting. We try to do it. And if it motivates the kids to go out and bust it in 95-degree weather for a 2-day tournament to try to win a belt, then let's do it, you know?
I hear that, man. I hear that. The that's where I was going with that, because I saw that all these kids, in the pictures on the wall. This is some cool stuff. Dude, I need to look into this.
Right.
So, one more quick little nugget, and I know you're a busy man. I don't want to keep you on the phone for too long, but I did see that you have a little spot on your website for charitable donations. Raising money for Tennessee Children's Home. Tell us a little bit more about that and how, if somebody wants to help you reach that goal, what they can do.
Sure. All right. So this is something that's, again, collaboration with our parents, you know, our parents that bring their kids and play in our events. But we talked about, you know, we're really close. I mean, I know you do. You're the same way with the players that play in your U.S. Kids Tour. You know the parents' first names. You know the kids, you know their mannerisms. You just get to know people, you know, and you really – so it's a family deal. So if you think about it, in other sports, when you play on a baseball team or a travel team, you know, they're going to have their fundraiser and do things and to try to raise money. My goal is to keep these events without having to charge a tour membership fee. And it's tough because those tour membership fees cover a lot of overhead expenses. They cover awards and things of that nature. And I don't have that, but I want to keep our – I'm talking with some of the parents. They always ask me, what can we do to help? We know you're working hard on this. How can we help you? And so we came up with just doing a fundraising drive. Just no different than what a basketball team or a baseball team or anybody else does. And we found what we thought was a pretty cool product, which is some NBA, NCAA, NFL licensed cups. And you can either get the coffee tumblers or the stadium cups or insulated tumblers. And so we partner with this group that does this. And then so through social media, you know, each player in our tour had the opportunity, if they chose to participate, they could create an account and they could sell the cups to their friends and family to raise money. And so we said, well, let's do this not just to try to raise a little money to keep us from having to charge tour membership fees. You know, what's a great charity we can work with? And we came up with the Tennessee Children's Home, which is right over, you know, they're based right near Knoxville, between Cleveland and Knoxville where I live, but they do work all over the state of Tennessee, and they have different locations in Western Tennessee, Central Tennessee. And so of the money we raised, $2 from each cup goes to the Tennessee Children's Home, and $2 from each cup goes to help offset our tour costs and not have to charge a tour membership fee. So this is the first year we've done it. We've had probably a third of our families that have played the tour participate in it, and considering that, you know, there's no penalty for not participating, we're just happy that our families have supported it, and it runs through this first fundraising drive ran through November 27th because we wanted people to be able to receive their cups in time for Christmas to give us Christmas gifts. You know, if somebody got a Rocky Top UT cup and wanted to put it in a stocking or something, it was there, you know. Yeah. So we did our first drive, and we're going to end up raising almost $1,000 for Tennessee Children's Home. So for a first year effort, we're happy to do it. And we'll probably do something very similar next year in the fall.
Oh, it looks like I want to go in there and get me a Bulldog cup.
Yeah, get your Bulldog cup. Yeah. It's actually still going. So if you were to go to our website and click
it's under, I'll help you out.
Under tour info.
Yep, under tour info, the SSJC fundraising.
That's right, SSJC fundraising. If you were to purchase the cups, you wouldn't have them by Christmas, but the money would still go to help our tour and help Tennessee Children's Home. So it's there all the time. It's just the actual drive period was ended on 27th because I was trying to to time it where people could get their products in by Christmas. But, sure. You know, just a different way of doing things and trying to keep the cost down for these junior golf families. And me having three kids, I'm telling you, I'm never going to be able to retire because I know how expensive junior golf can be, especially at the biggest level, you know.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. I got two boys within about a year and a half of each other, so I'm paying that right now on daycare bills.
Right.
But hey, man, Jason, I really do appreciate you taking the time out of your day to sit here and chat with us a little bit about your tour and great things that you're doing to help bring junior golf to different parts of your regional area in the Southeast. And I mean, I think the stuff that you're doing is just fantastic. And if there's anything that I can do to help, I would be more than happy to do so. And before we get off the phone, I usually like to have my guests leave us a little bit of a nugget to take home with them. And your podcast is coming here right before the holidays. And I want to take a chance to, you know, give us a little bit of a message for the parents, the kids, the coaches that listen to the podcast. What kind of advice do you have for them out there that they can go home with today?
Well, I tell you what. So I say this at a lot of our award ceremonies, and GFG, if everybody could remember GFG, our sport, this world would be a better place. You have any idea what GFG stands for?
I'm going to guess it's a little religious, but I got no idea.
That's what you got. It's God, Family, Golf. And that's what I try to do, you know. And I'm on my third kid. I've had some things I'm not so proud of as a golf parent, but I really tried to learn and tried to help others. And if you keep it in that order, if you don't get your G's mixed up, if it's God and then family and then golf, you know what, you're gonna be okay. And so, you know, I talk to our kids about that, my kids about it, and then I talk to you know, at our award ceremonies to the parents and kids who play in our events. You know, GFG, keep your G's in the right order and everything's gonna be okay. So, you know, here at the holidays, that's what I would tell everybody in our great sport, is just keep your G's in order. God, family right there in the middle, and golf right there with it.
Amen. So
that's what I got for you, man.
I love it. So one more time, how can people reach out to you and look up the Southern States Junior Classic Golf?
Okay, well, for our full schedule and for our tour information and all that stuff, you would just go to our website. And we've been around long enough that you can put in the search bar in Google and put Southern States Junior Classics and it'll come up. But the actual address is SSJR Classic, CLASSIC.com. And then, of course, we do, we're at SS Junior Classic on Twitter and Instagram. And so, and if you go to our website, you can click on those buttons. But we're easy to find out there. Just Google Southern States Junior Classics and we'll come right up. So, you know, it's a passion for me. It's a labor of love for sure. And, I'm just glad to be a small part of what is an exciting time for junior golf. It really is.
Hey man, you might be a small part, but you're putting off big dividends, sir. I just want you to know that. So, I greatly appreciate your time and insights today. I know, like I said, I know a bunch of my players come out and play in your events, and like I said, they have a great time doing it, and it's just fun for me to take a look at your website and see the posts of the kids wearing the orange jackets and the big belts and the rings, and you got a great thing going, and I wish you best of luck at the Ryder Cup event, and
appreciate it,
and I hope you have a great holiday and a Merry Christmas for all your family and friends, and we look forward to talking to you soon, sir.
All right, Matt. I appreciate you, man. Merry Christmas. See you.
Yes, sir. Take care.
And that's a wrap, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you enjoyed this podcast today, as this will be the last one I get to your ears before the Christmas holiday. So with that, I hope y'all have a wonderful Christmas and enjoy spending time with your family and your children. Remember, there's nothing better than being able to spend that time with your family and loved ones as you go through this season, and that's what really matters the most. And if you get the chance, go tee it up for this pro and have a good time. Hopefully the weather allows you to do that. If not, I hope you bought your kids a simulator so that way they can play in the garage and have a little bit of fun. So if you've enjoyed this podcast, as always, I beg and plead for you to help me out. Give us a review, 5-star rating if you could as well. Subscribe to the podcast. And if you want to reach out to us, you can reach out to us at MattWalterPGA on Instagram and Twitter. And you can always go on Facebook and find us at Junior Golf Blueprint. So with that, ladies and gentlemen, Merry Christmas. Have a wonderful time, and we'll talk to you soon.